Blog Talk Radio.
This is Wrestling 247, and your host is Jordan Garber.
Wow. I sit here in this chair right now. I think about the world. I think about my surroundings. But there's one thing that was in my mind the most today, and that was the return of Wrestling World 247 officially, with none other than Ohio-based professional wrestler. This guy is killing it on the independent scene, none other than Ron Mathis. Ron, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, let's get right to this interview here. I'm going to ask a question. Gerard's going to ask a question. Brent, if you want to chip in, feel more than free. We're going to be having an interview with Brent Myers as well at 3:15 p.m. He's been an extra on WWE. He has a lot to discuss, and he's going to be discussing that at 3:15 p.m. Beginning in the business, Ron, you know, tell us how you got your start and working for the Heartland Wrestling Association. I don't know if that was a WWE developmental territory at the time, but working with such a widely known independent wrestling company to get your start in the business, how did that work for you, training and everything and learning the business and learning the ropes?
Well, as far as HWA goes, it got kind of convoluted for a while once it got to a certain point. Cause it was developmental, but that was long, long, long before I ever even considered getting trained in Cincinnati. But once HWA went under, Cody Hawk started a promotion called Ego Pro Wrestling. That didn't last very long because it kind of spawned from HWA, but it wasn't. But we were pretty much me, Sid Fabulous, and another guy that I trained with were the only people that ever come out of the school while it was Ego Pro, because it kind of transitioned into Rockstar Pro after a while. But at the time when I trained there, it was Ego Pro, and it was pretty much just complete luck getting trained there, because it was really good training, but being completely uneducated, we were just throwing a, you know, dart to the board on the wall and guessing. We got lucky and got trained by Cody, and he was a pretty good trainer. He actually trained Dean Ambrose. He had, Eli Drake from DNA, and he had a hand in training Sammy Callahan, so we got pretty good training out of the deal. And then while after we were training, a new version of HWA opened up, and I started working there.
Excellent. Gerard, ask your questions. What do you got for Ron?
How was it working for IWF, I think it was?
I'm not sure if I remember an IWF.
I might have got it wrong. Jordan, what was the federation?
Was it like IWA?
From what I've seen on my records, Ron had 5 matches for IWA himself. Kind of shared those memories of being in the territory for a little bit.
Well, actually, the two shows I did for IWA Mid-South was actually John Moxley. Dean Ambrose actually hooked me up there because we actually had a match at HWA, which was in front of like 10 or 12 people because they weren't throwing well at the time. But we went that kind of just having a slugfest and beating the crap out of each other. And when I got backstage, he said,
you strike me as the kind of guy that's like down for anything, like you're crazy. Would you be like interested in death matching or anything?
And at that time, I was actually wanting to get into death matching, but I didn't know how. So when he said that, I told him, yeah, I'm definitely down. He got me into a tournament. It was a Prince of a Death Match tournament. So I did 2 rounds there, and that was my first death matches. And then I think that was pretty much it for my Mid-South career. So I did Team of the Death Match years and years and years later.
Excellent. And, you know, kind of transitioning from IWA Mid-South and having your cup of coffee there to Combat Zone Wrestling, you know, going to that territory, it's a very notable independent, a huge following around the world. Debuting there and making a name for yourself, kind of how was your experience going along the way for Combat Zone Wrestling?
My initial experience there was very, very good because the way, once I started wrestling at HWA, I got pretty tight with the Chris brothers. So once they got into CZW, they were keeping an eye out for me. So they let DJ know that I was looking to do some death matching and told him to keep an eye on a few of my matches. And eventually he brought me into one of their smaller shows in Indiana where I did a barbed wire boards match with Danny Havoc. And then from that point, I think I worked pretty regular for CZW for like a year and a half. It was pretty good. I don't get down to CZW very often anymore, but the time I was there helped me out a lot, because now when I get a hold of them, there's a lot of them, at least know who I am initially. So it's been a blessing going forward in my career just to get that name value from them.
You bring up Rockstar Pro Wrestling as well earlier in the interview. I think Gerard wanted to cover a topic on that. Gerard, what did you have for Ron about Rockstar Pro Wrestling? Basically just starting out there, a question, something along those lines, right? Gerard, did you have something for him?
Yes, I did.
Bad audio on the program. In regards to Rockstar Pro Wrestling, there's the Tournament of Flight, something I've been very interested in. Ron, when you were there for Rockstar Pro Wrestling, did you have the chance to compete into that tournament? Or, well, what storylines were you in? What did you have going for you, and what did you enjoy about it?
Well, I've actually got a real personal stake in Rockstar. I've been there since the very first show. I was in, I think, the second or third match ever. And Rockstar's turned into a good place for like young talent to get in, because if you wrestle there every week, like it's so valuable. No matter how your bookings go, you got at least that Wednesday night at Rockstar. But over the years, it's done so much more than that, because we've really started to really take off as a super indie, which it happened when Jay Chris started like taking the book, because he's a brilliant mind. And he's really turned us around and gotten us that next level. Right now, I'm in a group at Rockstar called the Foundation. It's me, Bruce Gray, and Sid Fabulous. And it's a really cool thing to do, because we're all three from Chillicothe, and we're all, kind of grittier-looking wrestlers. So especially in a place like Rockstar Pro, where like some of the best athletes you ever see, the most beautiful moves, hard-hitting, high-flying. And what we try to do in the Foundation is we just bring a little bit of old-school heel acts to a new-school place, which I think it's a beautiful blend. And if more people could marry the two, wrestling would be into a new level. I wasn't in the Tournament of Flight, but I'm not a high flyer. I do a suicide side and a top rope elbow drop, and even that scares the crap out of me. So I gracefully bowed out and went down here that weekend.
Well, we can certainly understand that. There's something in 2015 we go back to. It also related to me almost going to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Actually, no, it was in Woodbury Heights, New Jersey, but I would have been staying in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. December 2015, it was South Jersey WrestleFest. VOC Nation had a panel there. It was supposed to be Brady Hicks, Kathy Fitzpatrick, The Stro, and myself live in Woodbury Heights, New Jersey. Due to a last-minute complication, I could not make that trip. Ron, you were there at South Jersey WrestleFest, and I heard from all the critics and everybody that Matt Tremont put on a huge event and a great show. To compete in one of the firsts for Rockstar Pro Wrestling at South Jersey WrestleFest, what was that kind of like for you? How was that show, and what did you think of the crowd that day?
Well, to be there with Rockstar was cool, because I was actually the champion at the time. And I think that was probably the first time that we defended on the East Coast, because I wrestled Nate Williams. So that was cool to be there as a representative of Rockstar. And then it was also just a really cool event, because as you probably know, the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, he put that event on, and he's really a breath of fresh air in wrestling. From outside, you might just see him as a deathmatch guy, but he does so much good for the business. He's training kids now, and that whole thing was put on by him. And as everything Matt puts on, it's just good for everyone. Wrestling goes as a whole, your individual motion, the people. So it was a good experience.
Excellent. You know, exactly. And, you know, me being the East Coast guy that I am, seeing wrestling shows, New York, Philadelphia, everything around the East Coast for pro wrestling is on fire right now, just like it is right now, right here in the Midwest, as Brent would know. That interview is going to be coming up in 5 minutes. and with Winnipeg, with the CWE. So you know, I think independent wrestling is in the potential for a rise and for a huge future. I think there's going to be definitely a huge revolution happening. To complete the interview, Ron, where can everybody check you out, and what's in store for the future for Ron Mathis?
Well, I'm on Twitter, RonMathis13. I'm on Facebook. I don't know my exact URL, but if you search Ron Mathis, I might be the gentleman with no pants on. And what you'd expect in the future is just wrestling's my life. I live and breathe for it. I haven't found the level of success I want to yet, but I'm going to keep plugging and trying until I die. And what you can expect is if you see me on the show, to see me just delivering the absolute hardest and best that I can. You can see me on the Fight TV app because Rockstar Pro is on there every single Wednesday. Amped is free. You know, we got one item a month, which I think is like $7.99. There's also the Rockstar Pro Network. It's $7.99 a month. So there's all kinds of ways that you can catch me.
Excellent. Well, it was great having you on, Ron. Thanks for being on the return edition of Wrestling World 247. 2 years since this show has been live. So thank you for being on the return episode. It was definitely something special. So you have yourself a great day, and thank you for being on Wrestling World 247.
All right. Thank you, guys. Anytime, I'll do it again.
Absolutely. Coming up later on the show, coming up next, I should say, we have an interview with none other than the BBM Ballistic Brent Myers. That is coming up next. Later tonight as well, a promo I address Wrestling World 247 fans. Plus, I have a marketing advisor, and she's going to definitely show the Wrestling World 247 demographic that I am the future of wrestling media. But before we go on about that, let's talk about Ballistic Brent Myers. Let's talk about his career, and let's get that started right now. How are you doing, Brent?
I'm doing great. Every day above ground. Great day for me.
Excellent. Living the dream. You got to live the pro wrestling dream, and you know what? Something that I'm involved in every day of my life. It's not the greatest life, but I'm living the pro wrestling dream every day, so it's definitely something special. You have a lot of questions here. There's a lot you've done. There's a lot you've accomplished. But I always bring this up. I don't want to be that boring podcast that everyone has that says who trained you. But we need to know where you got your start to where you are today, because you're a huge talent. You've been an extra on WWE. And how did it all start for you? Who trained you along the way for this pro wrestling journey of yours, my friend?
Really got started with my father, Robert Brooks, who was promoting professional wrestling back in the late 80s and early 90s. He was the real deal, you know, a real promoter. I always tagged along to his wrestling shows, and my older brother as well. And after the shows, we'd roll around the ring and we kind of, you know, hung out and stuff like that, and we got the wrestling bug, so to speak. And that led to me training with a guy named Jose Reyes. Later on after that, another guy, Steve Boz, and then that was mostly in the Chicago area. And fast forward, I started training in Las Vegas with a promotion by the name of Adrenaline Unleashed. Fast forward again, I started training with Dan the Beast Severn in Michigan Sports Camps for both professional wrestling and MMA. And throughout all that, training, I've gotten some shots with World Wrestling Entertainment. I've had some in-ring tryouts as well, used in a few different TV segments on Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, that type of thing. So I've been real blessed with that, and you know, I'm not done yet. And then, you know, outside of the professional wrestling business, I'm pretty much involved in mixed martial arts now, and I'm doing different MMA internet pay-per-view events, and actually have one coming up on the 26th of August. So I like to have my fingers in a bit of everything, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Everyone listening from around the world, you guys are listening to Wrestling World 247. Jordan Garber here, professional wrestling journalist, live from Winnipeg, Manitoba. So it's definitely a great show. We have our co-host as well, Gerard Smith from Hell in the Form Radio. Before we get to the next question, Gerard, kind of just share your thoughts about your podcasting journey and what shows you've done so the fans around the world know more about you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. You know, when we met, I carried on doing this for like 2 or 3 years. I've been doing, you know, every night. I'll have to get you on one of my shows, Jordan.
Yes, please. I'd love that.
You know, I just love wrestling. I love talk wrestling, and that's what I do. So it's been a long journey, but I love the ride.
Definitely. You know, it's definitely great to be involved with wrestling podcasting. I think I've done over 500 podcasts. The local boys are impressed how I do more podcasts than wrestlers do matches. So it definitely worked on my speaking skills, and I know that when I'm fully trained and fully developed in the business to work, like in the ring as a worker, that I'm going to have the muscle advantage, and I'm going to learn all these tricks of the trade along the way with my speaking skills since I've done the podcast before. So it's definitely something great to go on to. But enough about me. Brent, what are you adjusting to the business for your training and everything? Were you more into scripted matches, or were you more towards that the shoot side of things? What kind of do you prefer more for your start? So, did we lose you, Brent? Okay. Just want to make sure we got you on the air. Gerard, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Okay, excellent. I was just trying to see if Brent's on the line. You know, we asked that question about scripted matches or shoot matches. Very good question, because there are a lot of wrestlers that prefer different things. Until we get Brent back on the line, I had the chance to be in the ring a few times, and I definitely like it when it's a shoot, when it's things are scripted. Like, I like scripted with a little bit of leeway of being creative and doing things, because, you know, I don't want to fuck up, and I don't want to look really stupid, and I think it's just easier if you come with that focused mindset and you have a shoot along the way, and then you know, like, 2 or 3 spots, and then you can just have the best match to work on new things and have new things. Do we have you back on the line, Brent?
And I don't mind elaborating on that, because it's one of my favorite subjects. You know, when I walk into a locker room these days, it's a lot different than when I walked into a locker room in 1997 when I first started. You know, not to knock anybody, you know, it's reality. Today, guys can't do a match. They cannot work a match unless they script every single part of the match, which is unnecessary. I like to work according to the crowd reaction. Maybe go for a few key spots in the back and the finish, and include the referee, let them know what's up, and that's it. Today, these guys, you know, and I'll straight out and tell them, hey.
Absolutely. And, you know, you deliver a great point there. You do deliver a great point there, and I kind of miss the 80s style of the. I like it when people like Paul Orndorff come in, or all these big trends, because I learn something and I take something away from people that have been around in the pro wrestling in the 80s, and to pay my dues, which I'm certainly doing. I just want to continue to do that, because wrestling is magic, and if you pay your dues, I have a feeling, just out of God's sake, good things happen. So thank you very much for just delivering that question and educating the Wrestling World 247 audience. Apparently you're good with the ladies. Have you ever been with a WWE diva?
That's a good question there. Wow. Yes, I have. Actually, I have. I won't lie. I mean, the world we live in now, we're very blunt, right? So I'll tell the truth. Yes, I have. You know, on one or two occasions, but I try not to make a habit of it.
Well, I don't know who that WWE diva is, but, like, I hope you took her to, like, I don't know if you guys have the keg in the United States, but we have the keg here in Winnipeg. And you should have the keg and gave her a good night out, and you can explain the rest after the show.
Well, you know, right now she's not even a current diva. It's actually WWE Hall of Famer Sunny Tamerlan Stitch. You know, we had a little fling thing back in the day, and she's moved forward since then. So it is what it is. I was a little younger. Pro wrestling lifestyle, go figure, right?
I'll say this publicly. Honestly, I don't really care. Sunny, still attractive, still good-looking at 44. You know what? I think Jordan Garber a lot of things. So the open invitation is always there. MMA, your next MMA event. You're getting into the MMA side of things. Like, that's something I can't do because I don't want to get my face kicked off. Like, yeah, I can't even hang out with my friend. Like, she beats the crap out of me in the backyard. So MMA is out of me for the picture. But for you, Mr. Myers, what's been going on with MMA? Are you tying up the scene?
Yeah, man, I've been giving it a whirl. Long story short, outside of professional wrestling, I've always had involvement in the private security field, self-defense instruction, that type of thing. And so I'm always around, you know, different gyms, you know, state to state. And, you know, I was at Dan Severn's Michigan Sports Camp doing pro wrestling and self-defense training, and one day I seen a newspaper article for the Danger Zone MMA on his counter. And literally, I told him, hey, I've got nothing to do next Friday. let's get some MMA training. I'll give it a whirl. He still laughs about it because that's exactly what happened. You know, I told him I want to do it. We started training, and they threw me in the cage. And, you know, now I've kept up with it, and now I'm getting MMA bookings just as well as pro wrestling bookings, which is kind of cool because I'm capturing both audiences and making money and having fun.
Do you have, like, a MMA profile that the fans could check you out on? Have you had any MMA fights? If you have, this
yeah, I've had a few
whole
fights
different
on internet pay-per-view. You know,
work.
I'm still kind of new with it. I've only been doing it for about a year. I've dabbled with it a little bit in the past, on and off, but I've been doing it pretty steady about, you know, throughout this whole year. And, you know, I am going to develop some kind of YouTube channel for the MMA or, you know, some kind of MMA fan page. Most of the stuff I have right now is more pro wrestling related with a little bit of MMA stuff on there. But I am seeing on the MMA internet pay-per-view. So, you know, I am getting my name and face out there in that industry. And as I mentioned earlier on in the show, we do have a MMA fight coming up in Fort Wayne, Indiana on August 26th. And that MMA promotion is called the Danger Zone. It's promoted by Dan the Beast Severn and Fred Rodriguez. So anybody that's out there listening and wants to sponsor the event, please do let us know. And you could Facebook me at Mr. Brett Myers. And we can stem from there.
Sorry, can you... Sorry about that. Is there anything you'd like to plug to the audience listening to around the world? Is there anything you want to say? Is there anything you want to plug?
Yes. Again, you know, if you're interested in sponsoring individual talent, a fighter, a wrestler, and or the events itself, whether it be pro wrestling or MMA, please do look me up on Facebook under my legal name, Brent Brooks, and or my professional name, the Ballistic Brent Myers, and we can talk business and stem from there. You know, I entertain and you support, and we'll work well together.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time, Mr. Myers. You have yourself a great day, and we look forward to talking to you, I should say, in the future. Have a good one.
Thank you.
We've been getting callers here on Wrestling World 247 Live. Area code 618. Let's see what we got here. If it's a prank caller, you're welcome as well. Oh, welcome to Wrestling World 247, The Return. What is your name and where are you from?
Oh, hey, this is promoter Bob Brooks. The name might sound familiar to you.
Oh, excellent. Say the name one more time.
This is promoter Bob Brooks from Chicago.
promoter Tom Brooks from Chicago. Excellent. Great to have you on the show. I'm a wrestling student. I'm learning about the business. So for promoters and veterans like yourself, Mr. Brooks, to be on this show and to share your knowledge to young guys like me is definitely something that is great for me to expand my knowledge. So what do you want to say on Wrestling World 247 Live?
Well, hey, I'll tell you, I really specialized in classic professional wrestling. I promoted in the late 80s in Chicago. We had wrestling stars like Dick the Bruiser, Baron Von Raschke, Bobby Heenan, Yukon Moose Cholak. So for all the Midwestern and Chicago fans, and I'm sure those names sound real familiar, along with a lot of Central States guys like the Interns, the Medics. So, I was going to actually ask you your opinion on how you feel about today's promotions versus, let's say, back when I promoted, because I promoted in the late 80s, and it was a whole different world. It was professional wrestling, not sports entertainment. So I was wondering what your take was on that.
Absolutely, sir. That is a great question. Promotions today compared to the 80s is basically, it's just the tradition of the business, you know, tradition, paying dues, respect. I have a feeling like just nowadays, today, even high-flying styles is great, but I have a feeling high-flying style is overused. In the 80s, things were just more traditional and things were more fair. It was really the time to determine if you were able to survive the business, because if I was around in the 80s, I would definitely be having I would be being ribbed twice as much, and I would still be standing here because I have that passion for pro wrestling. But I definitely deal with twice the ribs and everything. And that's the way wrestling's supposed to be. It's a tough business. It's not for everyone. And there's people nowadays that put on one independent show that draws 25 people and they walk down the street thinking they're the best guy in town. You're not the best guy in the town. Everyone has dues to pay. And I think that's definitely just the tradition overall has changed. Do you basically agree with that? If there's anything I missed, feel free to let me know. I'm sure there is, but it's just based on tradition, discipline, and respect. It's just not what it used to be, professional wrestling.
Right, and I do agree with you on that. I don't want to come on here on your show and, of course, slam anybody, but, you know, when you start looking at the backyard wrestling type of, you know, shows, that's just really, really disappointing. So I hate to, I really be honest with you, I hate to see that because it just ruins the business. It's not, they're, you know, not in the business. When I promoted in the late 80s, we had to be licensed. The wrestlers had to be licensed. You know, it was a totally different, you know, different world than what you see. And I'm not going to say that there's not some good independent shows out there because, you know, there are. You know, just to see some of the, as you say, like the high-flying maneuvers and things. And, you know, I was just watching an independent show yesterday on the satellite. And the first thing, you know, it's a girls match. And what's the first thing she does? Come out, jump up onto the second turnbuckle, put her hands up in the air, you know, saying, wow, here I am. It's the same thing over and over and over. And that's what gets really disappointing.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, disappointing how a tradition's been lost and all these situations occur, and it's just, you know, I love watching an 80s wrestling show so much on a nice evening as opposed to a new school independent promotion that's still in the questionable talent. So, and that's the thing as well, there's people that are walking around this business that aren't trained, and I know that I'm saying that, but I've had a few spots in the ring, but I have had those spots in the ring as a wrestling journalist. I've made my name for myself as a wrestling journalist, and the promoter discussed with me how to do those spots and how to do them safely. I think that's different as opposed to some untrained worker going into the ring and having a 10-minute match and then walking out thinking he's the shit, because I totally disagree with that. Do you agree?
Totally. And when you see kick pads instead of professional wrestling boots out there, that becomes real disappointing. You know, I'm just going to throw your name at you. I'm sure you're familiar with Baron Von Raschke, the Clawmaster. Now, you know, one of the toughest guys in the ring, inside and out of the ring. But, you know, he was a great amateur wrestler, a great collegiate wrestler. He was an Olympic wrestler. You know, he didn't just sit out on his porch one day and say, hey, you know what, I want to be a wrestler, so I'm going to be a wrestler today, you know. And of course, back in the in my era, I'm going to call it, you know, we had a lot of wrestlers that transferred over from professional football into professional wrestling. So these guys were already, you know, monsters of the Midway, you know, transferring into the ring, you know. So I think it was a big, you know, just a big difference.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Brooks, for being on. It's people like you that expand my knowledge and increase my passion for professional wrestling. So thank you so much for calling in and being another guest on the show.
Well, that's okay. I appreciate you having me on, and I love talking classic professional wrestling, and I hope we get a chance to talk again in the near future. And you keep up the good work with your show, because I know it's going to be the number one show in the country, so keep going, okay?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the support, and I respect everything you've done in this business, and thank you once again for being a guest.
You're welcome, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have listened to Wrestling Road 247 featuring myself and Gerard Smith from Hell in the Form Radio. Before we end this show, Gerard, do you have to admit, look back at my Hell in the Form Radio days in 2013, I believe, that was 4 years ago, and what do you see, kind of question to ask you as a co-host, what do you see in my development from then to now?
Well, I have to say, you were a young guy, you're coming in, you know, I thought, you know, I didn't know what was up, came out to this young guy's coming in, I said, you know, but you come a long way, you know, with us. We were good friends then, we're good friends now, and you know, you came a long way, and you're just developing as a great, a podcaster, a great guy. So I'm glad to be friends with you right now, buddy.
You're always a friend of Wrestling World 247, and we're going to be having you on next Sunday because you are one of my favorite co-hosts to have on the show. So thank you, Mr. Smith, for being on Wrestling World 247. And for everyone listening right now, from the future of wrestling media, Jordan Garber, you guys have listened to the return of Wrestling World 247, 2 years in the making, and it's back. You've listened to an interview with Ron Mathis and Brent Myers, and next week, I'll announce a guest. In the meantime, thank you for listening to Wrestling World 247 Live.